Hello?
Seven, Crane.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. President.
Well, Billy, I've been having a little trouble reaching you.
Oh, my. Well, I apologize. I've been traveling all over the place.
Yes, I tried you in California. You just left or started or something.
That's right, and I'm terribly sorry.
Fine.
I would return the call. They said you'd be in a meeting or someplace.
Yeah. Well, how have you been?
I'm just fine, thank you, sir.
And you're back at your home now, huh?
Yes, I've arrived back. I've only spent 4 days at home since New Year's.
Oh, my.
I went down after the inauguration and after the President Johnson's funeral, I went down to Canigo Bay for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And had a nice rest down there, and then I went to California.
Yeah, yeah.
I came home today because my only aunt is dying of cancer, and I wanted to see her before
she went
into a coma.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
How are you?
Just fine, just fine.
I congratulate you on everything. I think that these prisoners coming back has just set a whole new mood in the country, and I think that your determination and perseverance, and my father-in-law told me today, I just talked to him when I came in, he said, tell the president if you talk to him that I was wrong and he was right.
Well, of course, there was no...
He expressed himself publicly.
There was no way for him or anybody else to know why we had to do what we did, but it was the only way to prick the boil, you know. We had to get these people to come to terms, and that
well,
did it.
You showed tremendous courage, and you never wavered, and now the whole world, my son, who's in college, 21 years of age, and he was telling me, he said there's a whole new respect for you on the campuses.
Is that right? Yeah.
And he said that a lot of people they don't know what you're going to do next. They said, boy said that Nixon is some president. Franklin says you're the greatest president that we've ever had in the history of America. And I believe it. It's really tremendous.
Well,
I believe the Lord is with you. I really do.
You know, we've got still got the problems. Isn't that a horrible thing? That Israeli shooting down that plane.
Especially
I've just been
air coming.
I've just been raising the devil about that because it was so stupid. It's so stupid. I mean, to shoot down a unarmed 707. Good heavens! I mean, that's worse than what they did at the Olympics. The other side.
Well, this will be an embarrassment for her coming here next week, won't it?
Well, I think it is. Yes, but on the other hand, that's going to be her embarrassment, not ours. We didn't do it,
right.
But we have to have her, of course. And she's. I've urged the Israelis, of course, privately, that they ought not only to express condolences, but to indicate that they're going to pay reparations for this. They just got to do it.
Absolutely.
It's just a terrible thing to have happen because...
Things seem to be moving a little bit better. At least from all I read.
Yes.
And
then, bing, they do this.
And here Sadat was moving a little bit to the right, it seemed to me.
Yes. Now this will force him over again.
That's right. It sure will.
Yeah.
He'll have to listen to these extremists on the left.
Yeah, it'll probably stir up for a few days. I don't know. But we're not going to be, we can't be blamed for what everybody does, but I must, and with Mrs. Meyer, we're going to have to talk pretty straight to her about this sort of thing when she's here.
Well,
now, the Israelis, you see, what they do with a thing like this is they lose all of the support that they have in the world, you know.
That's right.
We're their only friends anyway, you know, no other country is their friend anymore. And now this just raises the... Oh, it's just terrible.
See, there's two other points. One is the front page of papers over the weekend carried the story that they're talking about expelling all Christians from Israel.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And then the second point is that the Jews in this country are just raising a big, in speech after speech. Now, for example, this morning, the front page of the Atlanta Constitution, its third major story on the front page was a rabbi denouncing what is called Key 73. Key 73 is a combination of all the major denominations in the United States, including most Roman Catholics, for the first time joining together in an evangelistic effort. And they are damning Campus Crusade and damning so forth, and Rabbi Tannenbaum is coming down here to see me this week about it. And, of course, they are never calling my name. because they know of...
You're their friend?
I've been their friend, and they know that. But at the same time, they are going right after the church, and there's a great deal of feeling beginning to rise in areas where they've had great friendship.
What'll happen out of this if they don't, you know... What I really think is that deep down in this country, there is a lot of anti-Semitism, and all this is going to do is stir it up.
It's right under the surface. And
oh, boy.
Right to the top.
That's right. Well, anyway, but I must say that in terms of the other things that nobody could have ever anticipated that those great fellows in the POW, how they would handle themselves. You know, they did it all on their own. Nobody planned it. They just came off there with their heads high. And if we hadn't ended the war in the right way, you know, they wouldn't have come out that way. If, for example, we had done what so many were urging, just get out of the war. In other words, we'll withdraw if they give us our prisoners. They'd come down with their heads down.
Well, they surely would. And they came off those planes saluting and saying, God bless America and God bless Nixon. It was tremendous. I told my son tonight, I hadn't seen him in quite a while, and I told him, he's 21, that I'm not very emotional, but I really cried when I saw those people.
Yeah, well, I think the whole nation did, actually. Yeah.
It was just a tremendous experience for this country. You know, the country, Mr. President, needed some heroes.
Exactly.
Got them. And if they don't get exploited now, and the high-pressure promoters use them, and
yeah, that's right.
The bad stories start coming out when they have to face problems at home. But
there will be some of that, but we won't exploit them, of course. We're going to wait till they all get back before we even have them here at the White House, but then we will.
Well, they deserve it, and they're a marvelous group of people, and it has brought a whole new wave of support in a very unique way to you, because people say, well, he was right. In a very dark moment in December, you were right, and they're going to trust you the next time in a way that they didn't in the past. And I think that you've got a tremendous groundswell of support for you. Did you get a copy of the letter that I wrote to Mark Hatfield?
Yes, I did. I was, because I didn't get particularly stirred up about his comments. I just thought it was rather bad taste.
Well,
but
it hurt him.
I thought a lot of people thought he was quite a bit out of line on that. No grace,
it was terrible. I sat there so embarrassed I didn't know what to do. And when he sat back down, I turned to him. I said, Mark, I said, I want to talk to you about that talk.
Did you?
And he didn't say anything, and I hadn't heard from him, so I wrote him a letter and told him that I just felt that it'd been a wonderful thing if he had turned to you and said, Mr. President, thank you for getting us this ceasefire.
Yeah, and he didn't do it.
Instead of getting up talking about the sins and so forth, it was terrible.
Well, he's a strange fellow sometimes, isn't he?
I don't understand him. He is the big disappointment in political life.
He's playing
politics that I've known.
Yeah, what he's doing is, I think, unfortunately, playing to the radical groups on the campus and the rest. And he doesn't realize that they've passed him by now.
Well, they're in the past. That was proven in McGovern.
That's right. And here he is still, you know, pandering to that group, which is very unfortunate.
Yes, but to use a platform like that in your presence, at a presidential prayer breakfast, which we've leaned over backwards all these years to keep non-political, and to get up and do a thing like that was just inexcusable. And if he has any part in it next year, I don't intend to go.
Well, I won't either.
I told Doug Coe already about it. And Doug, of course, is very close. And you know, the interesting thing about it is that Harold Hughes is getting deep into this prayer breakfast thing, and he goes to every single meeting. He's on every committee and pretending to be, a great Christian. And in my judgment, there's something wrong, because the night that Stennis was shot, they asked me to come to a prayer meeting in the prayer chapel in the Senate, in the Capitol.
Right.
And Harold Hughes was there, and Mark Hatfield was there. And when Harold Hughes started to pray, he was going to pray out loud. He said that he could not pray because he had such hatred in his heart for you. And so he really did, to his credit, he said, "Oh, God, forgive me." He said, I want this out of my heart, because he said, he's my president.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through this tremendous, strange experience. And it, for me, it was strange. And I just...
One of the problems is, Billy, with these people like Hughes and Hatfield, too, is it's a very personal thing with them. They proved to be wrong in the war, and now they just hate to give up. That's really what's part of it, don't you think?
And a lot of them, they hate to give up, but they also, some of them, hate it that you're the one got the thing over with.
Yeah, because they have been condemning it so much and said everything we were doing was wrong, and then when it proved to be right, then it proved they were wrong, you see?
Well, we're, all of your friends like me, we're just so proud and thrilled, and just think, you just think back 4 years ago where this country was and how far you've taken us. It's tremendous.
Well, you're feeling pretty good, are you?
I'm feeling great, and Rosie talked to me about the possibility of coming to the dinner for Mrs. Mayer. I don't know whether you know that they were inviting us, but I don't know whether we should, whether you want us or not.
Oh, sure, you should come.
The dinner, but of course, if we're invited, we'll be
sure
to come.
This incident, I don't think, can change that. I think we just have to go for it. We're gonna have the dinner. We have to. I think your coming would be the right thing to do, right?
It might be because of this religious situation that's
right
coming up in the country.
But I would be very, very tough with all of our Jewish friends in here, and Mike Tenenbaum, you telling him he's making a terrible mistake and that they're going to get the darndest wave of anti-Semitism here if they don't behave.
That's exactly right, and Mark Tenenbaum is probably the most outspoken and the most listened to rabbi in America.
Yeah.
And he's going to come down here this week, and he wrote a letter to the New York Times defending me a few days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we can swing him over to make some strong statements, it'll have a great effect.
Right.
He's certainly one of the cleverest and most brilliant of the rabbis.
Right, right.
And it was very much for you this past time. You know, we tried to get him to lead the prayer at the Republican convention, but he felt he couldn't go quite that far.
No. Well, the thing that you've really got to emphasize to him, though, Billy, is this anti-Semitism is stronger than we think, you know. It's unfortunate, but this has happened to the Jews. It happened in Spain. It's happened in Germany. It's happening, and now it's going to happen in America if these people don't start behaving.
Well, you know, I told you one time that the Bible talks about two kinds of Jews. One is called the synagogue of Satan. They're the ones putting out the pornographic literature. They're the ones putting out these obscene films.
Like the thing in Time Magazine, and then Newsweek.
Ruth canceled both of them.
Good for her.
But take Time or Newsweek.
I'll tell you, it's a disgraceful thing, and I think really they don't deserve to live.
And for Time to come out the week of your inauguration with that thing was so unbelievable.
Yeah, that's the first time they ever covered inauguration without having it on the cover.
And Henry Luce would turn over in his grave.
I'll say he would. I'll say, well...
And they're going to go the same way that life went.
They will, unless they start shaping up.
I was talking to Bunny Lasca. He was down there taking a vacation while we were, and he was telling me about the great amount of advertising that Time has lost over the thing.
They really have.
That's what he said.
Well, they deserve it. They deserve it. The advertisers ought to be sick about this sort of thing.
Well, I saw you walked over to Trader Vic's. That's where I eat in Washington. Had a nice time.
It's a wonderful place, yeah. They're so nice, all those people. And
And I saw you riding around with Jackie Gleason. That was great.
Yeah, we had a great reception in South Carolina, too. That was
Yes, it's on the front page of every paper here.
Those people are, they were great down there, of course. That's good country. Good country.
This has become Nixon country down through here.
Well, we'll see you then next, is it Wednesday or Thursday? Or I guess Thursday.
I believe she told me.
Uh-huh. Thursday, I guess, right, the first. Well, we'll try to make her, we'll let her feel all right, but boy, I'll tell you, privately, we've got to be very strong with these people.
Have a real hair-letting with Rabbi Tenenbaum and find out exactly And he I think, basically is our friend. And I want
to... You can point out this, that there's nothing that I want to do more than to be, I mean, not only a friend of Israel, but a friend of the Jews in this country, but that I have to turn back a terrible tide here if they don't get a hold of it themselves. And it's up to them.
And they better understand it and understand it quick.
Yeah, because there are elements in this country, no, not just the Birchers, but a lot of reasonable people are now getting awful sick of it.
They really are.
Don't you think so?
In the church, too. I think what has happened in the church in the last 2 months is almost... They've almost... these denominational leaders, I'm amazed. They are shaken by all this because they've been so pro-Jewish.
Sure.
And the people that have been the most pro-Israel are the ones that are being attacked now by the Jews. And then to come out...
Can't figure it out.
They're going to kick all Christians out of Israel is unbelievable.
Can't figure it out. Can't figure it out. Well, it may be they have a death wish. You know, that's been the problem with our Jewish friends for centuries.
Well, they've always been, through the Bible at least, God's timepiece, and he has judged them from generation to generation,
yeah.
And yet used them, and they've kept their identity.
Right.
And one of the things they're terribly afraid of is so many of these Jewish young people are turning away from Judaism,
yeah.
Turning away from Jewishness. They say they're remaining Jews, but they're becoming followers of Jesus. Well, that's just scaring them to death. You see, they've set up all over the country these Jews for Jesus at the various universities.
Good.
They said they're remaining Jews, but they believe that Jesus was treated wrongly. And this is frightening Jewish leaders, and they're overreacting in this country. I'm talking about the rabbis.
Oh, I know, sure, the professors, but they're like the Episcopalians. They're losing any appeal to their own people.
Sometime when you have a few minutes, I want to tell you a plan for organizing on a world scale a counterpart to the World Council of Churches.
Boy, good.
Just for your knowledge, we're having a conference next summer in Lausanne with 4,000 world leaders,
good.
Church leaders, bishops, and so forth that are sick and tired of the World Council.
Well, you know, Carson Blake and these people have been... Well, they're so totally overboard, you know, on everything that is decent. I mean, they do it in the name of pacifism and the rest, but they're really so close to the communists. It's unbelievable.
Well, they are, and they say nothing against the communists ever.
Never, never. I know.
Always against us. It's against South Africa. It's against Greece and so forth.
That's right.
And
they see.
You can just their stuff seems to be written on that
right
side of the world.
Written right out of Moscow.
It sure does.
Right.
And just as you have changed the political picture, we hope to change the religious picture.
Well, listen, I'm all for it. And
bombshell when it comes.
When do you? That's going to be in the summer.
Next summer in '74. We're going to have at least half. Of the Anglican Church, the Anglican world, with us from Britain.
Good.
We will have a third of the German Lutheran. We will have the great majority of the American Church.
Will you?
We'll have 90% of the Latin Church. We'll have 75% of the Far Eastern Church. And we're going to have, and we'll be better financed.
Now, what about the Catholics?
We don't know. They're going to come in great numbers as observers.
Yeah.
So far, they would not be able to participate, and, you know, the Southern Baptist and groups like that wouldn't.
Yeah, the trouble is that
they couldn't anyway.
Yeah, the difficulty, too, the Catholics are better shape up a bit, too, but they're going to be losing their stroke because...
Well, they're
you know, they're
divided is the problem.
They're split right down the middle. They sure are. You've got the good guys like... you know, Kroll in Philadelphia and Cook in New York, and then there's this bad wing that is the Jesuits are just, who used to be the conservatives, have become the all-out barn-burning radicals.
I think quite a bit, by the way, of that fellow you've got working for you, McLaughlin.
Oh, yes, the priest, yeah.
Yeah.
He's good. You know, he's sort of a convert to our side. He came in a total all-out peacenik, and then he went to Vietnam and changed his mind.
I'd never met him until I was over at for a prayer breakfast over at the White House about a month ago.
Yep.
he invited me up to his office, and I went over and spent about an hour with him.
He's a very capable fellow, bright as a tack. Well, anyway, we'll see you then on the 1st.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, Ruth.
Appreciate you calling.
Tell Ruth we'll look forward to seeing her.
Okay.
All right.
God bless you. Bye.